producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The Paracast 10th anniversary show. Chris, why don't you respond to the question that was asked, and then we'll get to the other members of our panel.
Pretty much nothing. The question was, in the last 10 years, what major changes in your thinking about UFOs have taken place, and who or what was the source of the shift discussed? In terms of thinking about UFOs, nothing has really changed. I'm pretty stuck in the mud when it comes to my particular out-of-the-box, attempting to be out-of-the-box perspective. I think some of the things that I can point to as being, you know, co-host on the show and listening to, you know, gosh, at least 300 or 400 guests since I've been involved in the show. It's reinforced, I think, my view, as I was saying before, that the experiencer is as important, if not more important, than the actual experience that is reported. I think that's something that's become reinforced. We're seeing a dramatic increase in hoaxing and the dumbing down of, I think, the level and quality of education, I think, out there in the general public about the subject. We're seeing a real shift to delusional thinking, I think, on the part of the, as Tom Adams would say, the great unwashed masses out there that devour this stuff. And I find that very unfortunate. I think it's becoming increasingly more difficult for the average person to discern real video footage, real photographs, because the hoaxers are getting more proficient. They have better tools, and that's just muddying up the waters. You know, I ebb and flow about this subject. In the last 10 years, I felt a little bit invigorated myself. The prior 10 years, I had kind of burned out a little bit, and I had to leave the San Luis Valley. I had to get on with my life. I started looking into other paranormal subjects, ritual, the Western esoteric tradition, other things, hauntings, haunted sites, that sort of thing, and got into more crypto stuff. I tried to get away from the UFO and the cow thing for a while. But for the most part, nah. My thinking has once it hit a certain plateau, I think that we're dealing with something that's highly mercurial and tricksterish, and I don't think enough people really factor that aspect in. I know Greg and Paul do, and I know Goggs is appreciative of that. But I think it's very frustrating to see people just buy things at face value to the extent that they do.
We discussed, obviously, earlier in the show about specific cases we accepted and didn't accept, and now we're talking about conclusions and such. Paul Kimball, what do you have to say about it?
Well, first, I'd just like to say on the previous subject of conversation about databases and that sort of thing, very quickly, it's not actually, assuming you could get your hands on those archival materials, it's not actually that hard to digitally archive them. It takes time and it takes some effort, and there would be an expense. But if you were to go to Steve Bassett, for instance, and say, of the $600,000 you supposedly had for the fake congressional hearings in Washington a year or two ago, how about you hive off 10% of that, pay a grad student or two to take all of these materials and create a digital archive, you could actually accomplish that. I know because Rebecca Wise created the Project Blue Book Archive and spent a great amount of time at her own expense to put those up online so they would be available for as many people as wanted to look at them. So that's one thing. The other thing quickly I'd add about Peter Davenport is there's a difference between evidence that you collect yourself and an evidence that you, like, that you go out in the field and you find, and evidence that people, your reports that people send in to you. And one of the problems I have with Davenport's stance is that all of those reports, and MUFON too, all of those reports that he's taking in, the intellectual property lies with the people who are making the reports. He's just the person collecting, and, you know, it's a valuable thing to be the person who's collecting them. But ultimately, he's not the important piece of the puzzle. The people who made the reports are. So if the Roswell Slides case or Edward Snowden or Chelsea Manning or any of these things have taught us anything over the last decade, it's that the 21st century should be as much as possible about open sourcing, about transparency, about sharing information. Otherwise, all of the technology that we have is useless, meaningless. So we need to take advantage of this new technology and share information in all walks of life, which sounds ironic for a guy who works in an industry that relies on copyright protection. But like I said, there's a difference between the stuff you create yourself and the stuff that maybe you compile.
Really good point, Paul.
Now, as far as the second part of it there in terms of UFOs and your thinking.
Who's changed my thinking? I would say, well, Nick, Greg, Mac, you know, ufological rat pack or whatever. But Carl Flock, Tim Printy, Lance Moody, Tim Herbert, skeptics, people that challenged me over the last 10 years, not that I was ever a believer, but I would put forward cases and say, well, look, I really think the RB-47 case is something special. I really think the Kelly Johnson case is something special. And they would argue back. There's a very long argument in somewhere in the Paracast forums years ago between Lance and I about the Kelly Johnson case. I reacted initially, I guess, the same way that Stan might react if you challenged him on MJ-12. But slowly and surely, and I'm not sure I completely agree with Lance on every aspect of that case, but, you know, you develop a dialogue, and you have to have that conversation. So I've come to respect the skeptics. I consider myself a skeptic, actually, but I've come to respect fellow skeptics or even debunkers much more than I do the believers, because I find them much more open-minded and at least willing to engage in a conversation. And we saw that within the Roswell Slides research group, which was composed of both skeptics and people that I would classify as leaning towards believing in the ETH. And we all managed to work together and basically solved the Roswell Slides, the big mystery, within about 2 days. Because once we got the data that Jaime Masson and the others were hiding, it was fairly easy to discover what was actually what it was. So there was no big mystery. It was only a mystery that was created by people that were looking to make money off of it. And so that kind of open sourcing and cooperative venture between people with on other issues, we all had different points of view. But on that one issue, we could come together and we could work together to come up with a pretty quick solution, because we didn't hold anything back. We didn't get offended. We didn't get our feelings out of joint, and we shared information. And I think that's the way forward in the 21st century. And what guys like Davenport and MUFON are doing are looking at a 20th century model that utterly failed research into the UFO phenomenon because it compartmentalized information amongst different people and different groups. And the Roswell case is replete with that. You know, you had Stan Friedman and Bill Moore on one side, Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt on another side, other researchers over here, and none of them would share their information. That's not the roadmap to truth. That's just the roadmap to, you know, what we have now, which is a whole bunch of competing maybe truths, and nobody knows what they are.
Well, it's kind of like if you keep repeating the same thing each time and expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity. I'm not going to say someone is insane as a result, but I think disclosure is the biggest example of that. In terms of my thinking, I started out with the ETH back in the 50s. When I was a wee lad in Brooklyn, New York, and it's modified to basically saying there's a lot of things happening here in terms of experiences, and we don't really fully understand all the interactions yet. So maybe I know less as I get older. How about you, Greg?
Well, the thinking generally hasn't changed. I think that my basis was reading things from people like Robert Anton Wilson when I was in my 20s, who basically, his basic message is believe nothing, but take in all the information and weigh it put it through your own personal filters and you know, and trust that those filters are good and equitable. In terms of in the last 10 years, about the only people I could think of are Burnt States, one of them actually, the guy that asked the question and that I've contacted and talked with a little bit. He's changed my mind a little bit, or at least my focus. And before that was Bruce Duensing, who passed away tragically last year. But I had some intense conversation and communication with him for about 3 or 4 months.
Let me just do the break here, and we'll continue with that.
I keep getting on breaks.
I know that. With Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball, Gogs Mackay, Gene, and Chris. You're in.
El Paracasto.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter RADIO. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.
Nowadays, there are millions of people with old smartphones, iPads, tablets, you name it, just sitting around collecting dust. And if those are improperly disposed of, well, they contain unsafe toxic materials harmful to you and the environment. But now, these devices can be used as a painless way to help support your favorite GCN shows. Visit DonateMyCell.com. Donations are tax deductible, and if you donate 10 or more devices, you'll receive a special free gift offer. That's DonateMyCell.com. DonateMyCell.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Greg, unfortunately, starts talking just before the break. But it's a plot against him. It's the Illuminati has plotted against Greg Bishop. But, however, this is the beginning of the segment, so now you can continue, sir.
You got 10 minutes, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, 8 minutes and 50 seconds. Sorry,
who's counting?
That much. But the two people I brought up, at least, you know, in the last few years, they kind of turned my mind towards what Chris was saying, is that the witness is probably more important, and that my opinion has changed to kind of a witness-centered strategy. And the idea that, and I won't go into it because I have before, but the idea that way more than we think is going on in UFO, way more than we think is coming from us. Because when something strange happens to people, their minds are furiously trying to make sense of it and stuff it into boxes, and their subconscious gets involved, and their cultural conditioning gets involved. And I think that whatever they saw, whatever they experienced, is what their memory is and not what it was. So I think that it's like the blood-brain barrier or something. It's like the consciousness-subconsciousness storytelling barrier, whatever you want to call it. I think that's something we really have to look at. So I think we have to look at ourselves more than we look at the phenomenon, at least for a while, just to see what the instrument that's taking in all this information. We got to figure out how the instrument works and how the instrument might be recording, measuring, whatever you want to call it, in very crude terms. But we have to look at that instrument and find out how it works.
Actually, there could be manipulation going on there to almost in a subtle way force the experiencer to have a particular quality memory. So we don't even know where the dividing line is, whether the memory or the experience is pure, whether it's being adulterated. We don't know.
I think we adulterate it more than for some reason. I get my intuition is that we adulterate it more than the phenomenon ever could, for the most part. I would have to talk to many people who, you know, are absolutely convinced, or I'd have to go through it myself. You know, if I went through something like this myself, I'm sure, you know, I would hope not, but I'm sure a lot of my opinions would change. I've never had any kind of close encounter like that, at least not that I remember. And that might change my opinions. I have no idea. But for right now, I've got this very strong intuition that a lot of it is coming from us. Not saying that we're making it up or that it's, you know, a psychosis or anything like that, but the experience, the remembered experience, which is all that we have, I think most of it comes from us, and we have to take a look at that.
Cox, your point of view?
I just wanted to quickly come back to a story that Stanton Friedman often relates about when he was a young school pupil and he got into an argument with his teacher, who said one thing about the solar system or whatever, and Stanton argued his case, saying that she was wrong. As it turned out, he was right and she was wrong, but that was a thing in which solidified in him early on that I better be sure of my facts. And MJ-12 aside, I think, you know, we all applaud Stanton because he's done the legwork in so many libraries and archives and such like that. And really, the most important thing, I suppose, is to be sure of your data. And I know the kind of more esoteric aspects of the ufology. I think most of all of us on this show today are kind of post nuts and bolts people. We probably all started thinking, you know, that it was a nuts and bolts answer. And I think probably many of the cases, like the 701 unexplained cases in Special Report 14, I wouldn't be surprised if many of them had some high strange aspects, but maybe they weren't mentioned at the time because they just seemed so crazy. And I think a lot of people's thinking these days is they may have been the most important parts of the experience. And there's definitely something going on, I think, with human consciousness. It's definitely it's definitely an interaction, some symbiotic thing. I don't know how to explain it, but the more I read and see and listen to this subject, the more I'm sure that the answer is so strange. A bit like how Valet said, I'd be very disappointed if it's just aliens coming from another planet. I just think it's so complex, and we have to be sure of what we can be sure of. but not exclude the things that seem uncomfortable or ill-fitting, because if they are reported as true as much as the other parts, then no matter how weird, I think we have to take all aspects into account. That's the way I've gone personally, and I'm not a researcher. I'm just a guy who reads books, listens to shows and stuff like that. But I think most of us here today are what I would call post nuts and bolts.
I was going to stand up and say yay as Goggs was talking.
Me too.
Just go ahead.
I think you bring up a really good point, Goggs. It's something that I've been saying for a while, noticing that people tend to leave out. I'm not saying this happens on every sighting or a close encounter event or encounter with a crypto creature or whatever, but it seems that there's a significant number where a particular nonsensical, absolutely head-scratching, doesn't make any sense, will negate your impression of the entire experience. There's some little fact that is often left out. People don't want to mention that one little detail because then it will call the whole experience into question. I think, Goggs, you're right. That one little detail could be crucial. I've had people come up to me days, weeks, months, years later and say, remember that sighting I told you about? Well, there's one thing I kind of didn't want to tell you, but I feel comfortable enough to tell you now. That sort of thing. And I think it's important. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think researcher filtering is another huge problem, and I don't know how to get rid of that filtering except like what Chris said, is just listen and accept and say, look, if there's something there that you think is extremely strange, that doesn't fit, or you're embarrassed about, tell me that too. I mean, you're going to be anonymous anyway, so let's put that in because that might help other people understand what's going on and maybe give you some answers. Because a lot of times when these people are telling you these things, all they want to do is get it off their chest. That's about 90% of the problem, is they want to say something to somebody that's not going to laugh at them or look at them funny. I mean, I'm sure Chris and all of you guys have had this thing where, you know, you're at your table or whatever at a convention, and somebody comes up and just starts talking to you, and when they're done, they don't want a reaction. They don't even want you to explain it. They just wanted to say it. So I think that's part of, you know, that might be part of the an important part of the equation.
Yeah, I agree.
We've got a lot more to talk about, and the experience is going to lead to one of the most controversial aspects of UFOs, especially in terms of the Paracast over the years, and we'll get to it in a moment with Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, Goggs Mackay, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the 10-year Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Wait a minute. Don't spend a dime on emergency food storage until you visit ReadySupplyFoods.com. If you're interested in getting the most high-quality food for your money, then see our comparison page where we list all the companies and rank them by value for your dollar. You'll see that Ready Supply Foods sells 50% more food for your money than any other company. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. Make an informed decision by going to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Ah, 10 years of the Paracast with Gene and Chris, Paul Kimball, Gox Mackay, Greg Bishop. All right, I'm going to bring up the subject, and Paul, I think you get a sense of what we're talking about here. Let me just tell the anecdote here. So we were going to have two prominent abduction researchers on the Paracast in 2010. And they both said, as you recall, and you were very gracious about it, we're not going to go on the show with that Paul Kimball character. He doesn't believe us. Do you remember that?
I do, yes.
And I think part of it is that you were a disbeliever, but also you had said you wouldn't allow those two people, Dr. David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins, to hypnotize you. And I agree, I wouldn't allow anybody to hypnotize me because I wouldn't know what was going to happen. But let me ask you, Paul Kimball, do you believe at all that any of these abduction scenarios, we're not talking about aliens or any specific explanation, have any value in terms of something strange going on?
Of course. I've never suggested anything different. My problem, and without going down that rabbit hole, my problems with the late Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs relate to their methodology and how they act with the people that they're dealing with, which I think is irresponsible. But in terms of damages, the actual looking into of, I guess, what you can call the abduction phenomenon, because I can't think of another name, the experiential phenomenon. There you go. Because, you know, human history is replete with stories and examples, usually before the 20th century, filtered through some sort of religious context of contact. Yeah, let's call it the contact experience. There you go. I like that better. Where people would talk about all sorts of strange things. I mean, I've talked about on the show years ago, a Canadian evangelist named Henry Allen, who was a transformative figure in Canadian history in the late 18th century. He's a religious figure. And while you guys were fighting a revolution up here in the Maritime colonies, we were undergoing a great spiritual awakening. They actually call it the Great Awakening. Anyway, Allen left behind a journal of his experiences, and it's one of the primary, it's one of the few primary documents from that time period in Canadian history. And he describes in great length what he called his conversion experience.
There are a few examples of Allen's, when he was doing his conversion thing, he wrote about being wrapped up in God, ravished by the Spirit. I mean, these, you know, he's out in the field. These were very physical things that were happening to him. So if you were to flash forward him 250 or so years into the modern era, you might view those experiences, given the way we look at things now, less in a religious sense, although many people still do. But depending on where you are and who you are, you might sort of view them more in a technological sense, and it, dare we say an alien sense. You might filter it through that prism of understanding. Yeah. It doesn't change the nature of the experience, what he described. I know people in my own life who are who do still filter it through a religious filter, and they still view it as an evangelical religious experience where they have direct contact with God. Maybe it is. Or maybe they're having contact with space aliens or some form of what I call an advanced non-human intelligence that I choose not to characterize as a particular thing. But the experience, all of these people are having experiences. And so that's, you know, that was always my problem with the abduction thing, where they would try and pigeonhole these, what I consider very interesting, very high strangeness experiences into one particular category, and then lead the people who had the experiences down that road and sort of interpret for them what it is they experienced, and then they would come to believe, well, it had to be space aliens because that's what I'm being told it is. Whereas, you know, in 100 years ago, we used to do that with these experiences and say, well, it had to be God, it had to be religious, you need to join our church. And I think there's a much better way of, so that was my problem with Jacobs and Hopkins, never that I discounted the experiences of these people, because I don't. In fact, I find them fascinating. What I discount is the methodology of people who want to pigeonhole them into a particular belief mechanism. And that, for me, was Jacobs and Hopkins and others like them.
They get the abduction experiences they expect to get, and they kind of attract the results that they receive. Gods, what's your feeling?
Well, I think I posted in the forum just the other day that if we're to believe anything about the use of hypnosis and recovering memories of supposed alien abduction or whatever it actually is, I think it should only be done by people, practitioners of hypnosis, who don't have an iron in the fire, you know, are not interested in ufology, and certainly have zero prior knowledge of the case before conducting the hypnosis. Because to have people like Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs, who are almost, you know, they always, as Chris was kind of just saying, they always seem to get kind of the same end result. Now, I'm not accusing them of deliberately leading witnesses, but if
why not? You know, maybe you should, because I asked David Jacobs about leading witnesses, and he said, no, it doesn't matter. Well, I think it does.
No, he said he does it on purpose to see if they'll respond.
I'll accuse him of that. I've read some of the transcripts. They are, here is my legal opinion, deliberately leading witnesses. It's the kind of questioning that would not, but this, you know, Jacobs and Hopkins are not the only ones. You know, generally speaking, most UFO researchers have been lousy, witness interviewers, because there is a skill set that they teach you at either law school, or police officers learn it, or historians learn it. I took oral research methodology in my grad studies. There's a way to ask questions, there's a type of question to ask to elicit the proper answer and not contaminate the witness. And as much as I love Stan, not to pick on Stan, but as much as I love Stan, Stan was not trained in that. He's very good at some things. Nuclear physics, he's far ahead of me. But in terms of being able to ask questions, none of these guys were really trained or had experience in it. And I think that it led to the contamination of an entire generation or two of witnesses. And Hopkins and Jacobs are just the most, perhaps to me, egregious examples. But it, you know, it was happening throughout UFO research, you know, from the very beginning, really.
Yeah.
We need people who have no interest in ufology whatsoever and have no idea that this person is claiming an abduction or whatever. They should just say, oh, this person is having difficulty dealing with a certain events on a certain night, and that's all they should know, and then it should be taken from there. But to use people who already have formed, you know, the idea that this goes on, alien abduction and experiments or whatever, is a complete mistake from the get-go.
Yep. Well, we have, of course, Dr. Benjamin Simon, who hypnotized the Hills. So there is that. He supposedly had no leanings one way or the other about UFOs.
Well, he kind of couldn't, because it hadn't been done before, all this regression for that. So he was clean, in my opinion.
I would just like to add, just on the thing about hypnosis, I don't dismiss hypnosis for behavior modification. Baseball players find it, for instance, quite useful, I think. What I do tend to dismiss hypnosis for is memory recovery. And the criminal law, there's any number of cases over the last 30 years where, usually involving sexual abuse cases, alleged sexual abuse cases, where memory was elicited through hypnosis, and it turned out to be wrong. And so I think hypnosis is a lousy tool for memory recovery. I don't think it's appropriate for, and Valet, I believe, has said the exact same thing. So I'm not reinventing the wheel. Valet's been critical of the use of hypnosis in memory recovery for decades. What I think hypnosis is useful for is behavior modification. And ironically enough, I think that's exactly what the abduction researchers are engaged in.
Now, in honor of our 10th anniversary this week, we're going to have a special double-length episode of the After the Paracast podcast featuring our guest panel. If you want to hear After the Paracast, you've got to join the Paracast Plus. So please visit plus.theparacast.com for more information about the Paracast Plus, plus.theparacast.com. We also supply an ad-free version of this show, show transcripts, videos, and more. We're going to modify your behavior right now, listeners. We haven't figured out how yet. We've got Paul Kimball, Goggs McKay, Greg Bishop, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent. And in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball, Gox Mackay, Gene and Chris, the 10th anniversary show, focusing...
Yay!
Yeah, let's applaud.
Yay!
Some people might feel relieved.
You did it, Gene. You did it. I don't know how, but you did.
I haven't figured out what I've done yet, but maybe in another 10 years I'll come to that answer. We're trying to look at the abduction experiences and trying to see if we can find anything here. And again, it's still all about the cultural meme, which is today it has to be aliens and 100 years from now it'll be something else. And we know what it was 100 years ago.
Well, I'd like to chime in here just a little bit on this. Having had a regression session with the first licensed hypnotherapist, I think, in the United States, Dr. Ivar Berkman, when I was 13, I was never allowed to see the results of my regression. There was some deep probing into my pre-adoptive life. I was adopted when I was 5, and I was never allowed to go back there. I was never allowed to hear the recording. So I've always wondered about that. But the point I was going to make here is that hypnosis, I think, is like gasoline. And when you have an emotional experience that has a deep subconscious impact on the individual, if you have an experience that's really, that allows emotional elements to well up, I think that by improperly regressing somebody, you're throwing gasoline on a fire. And that's where you could have a very fertile ground for leading witnesses, for witnesses to, their hidden fears, wants, and desires may come out in the quality and the languaging of what comes out of the regressive state. And this is something that you don't hear much about. You know, people don't talk about this much. But whenever you hypnotize somebody about something deeply emotional and that touches some sort of primal urges and strikes to the soul of their emotional body, it's really, really delicate territory, and I think that it's very, very easy to – it's one thing to ask a hypnotize a witness and say, what color was the car? Do you remember the license number? Do you remember the color of the hair? That sort of thing that's kind of done in a very sort of objective, sort of dispassionate way, as opposed to somebody that's had this you know, what they think is a horrifying experience. So I think the emotional element of the witness – where the experiencer is treated, I think, a little callously by the before-mentioned investigators and others. That's why I think people like Barbara Lamb and Leo Sprinkle and in a lesser way, Deborah Lindemann and others. I think they ratchet down that aspect, but then they sometimes go too much in the other direction and try to make it all okay. So, again, I've been so just on the fence on this whole thing, and I've really not commented too much beyond my comments here. It's something I just kind of stay away from.
It just breeds emotions. Chris, we have a lot of questions from listeners. This is the final third, roughly, of the episode. Maybe ask a couple more.
Yeah, we do have some good ones. Here's one from Chuckleberry Finn, and he has been a long-time poster all the way almost back to the beginning, and he comes out occasionally with some very, very when he does come out and post, he generally does it here at forum.theparacast.com and the question bank where our listeners can, you know, ask questions of our guests. And here's one for Greg, and he's wondering what your top favorite books are, not necessarily UFO books, just books you like, fiction, nonfiction, whatever.
Well, that's pretty easy. One of my favorites is You Can't Win, which was written by a guy, his name is Black. I can't, Jack Black, not the one everybody thinks of. And it was a pseudonym. This was written in the 1920s. It was about it's William Burroughs' favorite book. It's just about a guy that was a career criminal starting out in the late 1800s and into probably 1920 or so. And it's just a fascinating book, and I've read it probably 10 times. Another one of my favorites is, and Chris knows this, is the story of Cabeza de Vaca, about a Spanish conquistador who was basically shipwrecked in Florida in the late 1500s and wandered through the United States, or what would become the United States, for like 10 years or longer, until he finally stumbled into an outpost in Mexico after meeting all kinds of indigenous people all the way.
1531 was
it was early 1500s. The reason I'm fascinated by this is the reason I'm fascinated by any I'm fascinated by anybody who gets experience of something or gets involved in something before anybody has any idea how to talk about it.
Right.
So that the experience is pure, and it doesn't have preconceptions all wrapped around it. You know, as far as UFO books, I think my favorite UFO book, one of my favorites is, and I've said it before, is Messengers of Deception, for obvious reasons. And another one of my favorites is I can't think of it. Jim Brandon's book, Rebirth of Pan, which is kind of hard to find, but very, very, very deep influence on my thinking. And, maybe Operation Trojan Horse, anything by Keel. Those are basically books that come up when I think of, you know, my favorite people. Another one, strangely enough, is, John Barleycorn by, Jack London. It's just about basically an autobiography of him being an alcoholic and how he became one and the problems he had with it and all that. And this was written in, you know, 1911 or something like that, when nobody really said that alcoholism was a disease. He dealt with it very straightforwardly, and people actually don't want to think that it's an autobiography because it shows a weakness in him, which was actually a brave thing for him to do at the time to write that. So yeah, those are basically some of the things that, that float my boat, I guess.
Yeah. How about you, Paul?
I read a lot of, you know, my background is in history. I still read a lot of history. I'm reading Adrian Goldsworthy's biography of Augustus. Actually, right now I'm sort of into ancient history. I move. I'm like Doctor Who. I move between time periods. But in terms of fiction, you know, if I had my top five, they'd be Wuthering Heights, In Quiet Close the Dawn by Shalmakov, Watership Down, which is probably my favorite book. Those plucky little rabbits, I cry every time I read that book. There's a great book by a Canadian author here from Nova Scotia called Mountain and Valley, Ernest Buckler. You know, that kind of stuff. I love the late 19th century romantic literature, Pride and Prejudice, and all of that. Far from the Madding Crowd, I'd probably make my fifth sort of book. And I revisit those, you know. I read Watership Down usually once every year or two, but I revisit them every now and then, even as I'm trying, you know, I try and read newer books, new literature. It's just, there's so much out there. It's like music. There's so much out there that it's hard to, and you know, we all have lives to lead and jobs to do and stuff like that. It's, but the nature of what I do, writing screenplays or whatever. Yeah, I was just, as I was saying, you know, when you make your living at least in part on telling stories and writing screenplays and stuff, you have to be, you know, you have to have an understanding of literature. Shakespeare. I've read all of Shakespeare's plays, for instance, and every year I try and go see at least one or two when they perform locally here. So, you know, that, like everybody, I would think you have a broad, actually, I shouldn't say like everybody. One of the things that annoys me most about modern society is that people don't read as much as they used to. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the Twitter, Facebook. And I mean, I use those things. I'm on them more or less all the time, it seems. But you have to have a balance. Yeah. And so the same thing is true in UFO research or ghost research or whatever you want to call it. I think you have to be familiar with the literature from the past, but I think you also have to be familiar with the technological tools that you can use to disseminate and collect information as it exists today and to communicate with other people. So it's a balancing act between both, and it's, you know, within the paranormal world, it's hard to balance sometimes. Far too many people seem stuck in the past and not, you know, using the tools of the present. And a lot of people, as Chris mentioned earlier, who just go online and look at videos, crazy videos of sea monsters or something jumping out of the water, third phase of the moon. They're not familiar with the literature of the past, so they sort of say, wow, this seems really new. This is amazing. Really? No, this, you know, people have been talking about this for 50 years. So there's, you know, you have to walk that fine line between the two different worlds. It's not always easy.
I'm going to list some of my views about this in our next segment, concentrate mostly on UFOs and or paranormal books. But we do have four more segments and more of your questions. This is our 10th anniversary roundtable. We've got Paul Kimball, Chris O'Brien, Gene Steinberg, Gogs McKay, Greg Bishop, all together in one large virtual room that's stuffed to the gills. With Gene and Chris, you're in
De Pericas.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.